get what you missed on Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the catch-up for Adelaide Tools' massive Paraka car park sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.
Thank God it's...
Hey, it's Friday, Rune. Oh. We are now the disco station of Adelaide.
I think I need a coffee before we play this. Just to get up and about a bit.
Footy's back, Rue. Did you sit on the couch last night?
I sat at the Glenunga Footy Club and watched it last night. And, it was a good enough game. I think, reminds me, it just gets me thinking why Carlton and Richmond should kick off the season again. I think it's more for hope for their supporters. They can go there before that game thinking, oh, we might be better than I think we are.
Gillon McLaughlin's coming on later on this morning, and that'll be one of my first questions. Yeah. I don't know about you. Can we please get rid of these locked-in matches?
Well, what's the rationale behind it? That's all I want to know for it. I think realistically it probably is the fact that both those supporters will turn out and have, I don't know what crowd they had. Was it 80?
Huge,
or,
yeah.
It was monstrous. And that's probably why, because they'll go for that game. Mm. And it's good for the game for that. But they're both average sides. Carlton are going to be no good. And Richmond are going to be middle of the ladder at best.
Skills were down a fair bit, weren't they? But I suppose
first game. A lot of speed. That's the way it goes. So very young Carlton footy side. They're going to be bottom two on the ladder. So whenever the bottom sides play Dits, that's what you get.
Yep. All right. So what's coming up today, Roo?
We've got a big show. We've got Lawrence Mooney going to join us very, very shortly. Brian Taylor's going to join us. Gil McLaughlin's joining us. Rachel Sporn's going to join us because we've got the Melanoma March happening this Sunday down at Henley Square.
Thousands of people get involved in that.
Yeah, plenty happening today, Dits.
Yeah. All right. It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast on this Friday morning. It's going to be a cracking day. All thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:09 on this Friday morning, Ruined Dits, thanks to Adelaide Tools. Just a reminder of the big weekend for Adelaide Tools, Roo.
Yeah, it's a very, very big weekend out at Paraka, the big car park sale. If you're looking for tools, get out to Adelaide Tools car park sale at Paraka tomorrow.
All right, what's making news around the world, Roo?
A few bits and pieces of news around. I remember a while ago, Victorian couple went to Phuket for a bit of a romantic getaway, a bit of a holiday, and ended in absolute tragedy when they had a jet ski accident, and the girlfriend actually died, which was very, very sad. Well, that lad got put on charges and has just been cleared. He's been put on a suspended sentence and fined $188, but it was a terrible incident, but he ended up getting charged for accidentally killing his girlfriend, which would be a horrible situation. He's heartbroken. Her parents totally understand that it was an accident. They were all over in Thailand yesterday for the court appearance. And, life will move on, but very, very difficult situation for everyone concerned.
Yeah, so he's now allowed to fly home. Thomas Keating's his name. He's allowed to fly home now, but he's been in custody over there until hearing yesterday.
Has been, and, just reading the bits and pieces there, sounds like he spoke very well and seems like a good lad, but, life's going to have to go on for all those guys, unfortunately. It's a tough situation.
Yeah. The aftermath of yesterday's terror attack in London, I believe 7 arrests have been made. Police have raided homes in Birmingham and in London. They now know a lot about this fella. Now, he was on MI5's radar, which raises questions again, Roo. Now, you can't go around arresting people willy-nilly because you think they might do something wrong. However, suspected terrorism, for me, in this day and age, is a bit different. And if they're watching these people and they know that it's like a terrorist cell, if they're watching several houses, it just seems all a little bit too little too late, doesn't it?
Now, oh, it does.
I don't know what the answer is. But
well, you know what an interesting question would be to someone in that group is how many people are on this radar?
Yeah.
All right. Are there, thousands or are there hundreds or are there, less than that? And what level of suspicion do you need to have to be able to hold them?
Yeah.
I would think it should be a lot less than if you think someone's a bank robber or if you think someone's doing something else.
You suspect them for a reason. Now, is it because of things that they've said on their phones? Like if you've tapped their phones, is it for things that they're looking up on? Correct. Is it internet searches? Now, if it's terrorist related, I'd be arresting them. On that alone, because you and I, living in Australia as males, as white males, if we search for certain things on the internet, we can be in trouble.
Yeah, you can be.
So
I think everyone's in your situation agreeance with you there, Dits. If there's any doubt,
yep.
You'd love to be able to hold them. But I guess what are the resources that we're spending here on looking at people and searching for people and holding people? If you had thousands of people, held up in jails or whatever, the cost is going to be massive, but that's what it needs to be, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, as I say, if MI5 had him on their radar, that tells me something.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm. Vince Foccarelli, who we interviewed right here on Triple M probably a month ago or so, he has actually left Adelaide now. He went via
Melbourne.
Gee,
what'd we say?
Yep.
What'd we do?
Once we interviewed him, he knew his time was up. And he's gone off to Italy.
He's gone.
He's packed his bags. He's shut his restaurant.
That happened quick.
Yep, gave Frank Pangello a kiss on the cheek and went back to Italy and probably will never come back.
Well, he said he was fearful of. He thought he would go into detention because that's what's happened to a couple of others.
Yep.
That they would. Yeah, they'd.
So he's made the move to avoid that.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be happy, but there'll be a lot of people back here that would be.
Yeah.
And Australian government or whoever come up with the idea of deporting these people are a bit naughty. They've got their way.
Yep. All right. That's what's making news right around the globe. Coming up next, Lawrence Mooney.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Let's get our funny man on, Lawrence Mooney. Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Just on a serious note, last night there was an emergency meeting of all the comedians in Australia on the eve of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Right.
And there was a unanimous vote that Ditch should not tell jokes on the radio ever again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that. And I am in full support. Don't worry.
But, in sympathy to your cause, we did cast around and come up with our three top Bono jokes. Why did Bono fall off the stage?
Why?
Too close to the edge. John Lennon, Bob Marley and Elvis are in heaven and Bono flies by with his fly glasses on. And Bob Marley goes, I didn't know Bono was dead. And John Lennon goes, it's not Bono, it's just God. He likes to pretend he's Bono. And my favourite, did you know that breakfast with Bono is the most self-important meal of the day?
Good stuff.
That is a ripper joke.
I love it. Love it.
Good on your dits.
Thanks, mate.
We'll be doing them at 8 o'clock for the next 3 days. Hey, how'd you finish up in Adelaide? Would have been a busy couple of weeks.
Well, it was a great time in Adelaide. And on Sunday, my wife and child and I went down to Port Wollonga, which is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd had a big one Saturday night, so I fell asleep on the beach in a pair of Speedos, and I'd end up horrifically sunburned. If anyone wants to see the result of that, please go to my Insta feed. But I was wearing Speedos, so I had some of that board short, white, virginal flesh exposed. I have been very sore, which is kind of karmic, because in the show I did stuff about, going to Henley Beach as a kid when, there was no sunscreen. Your parents would put on sunburn cream after you were cooked. Yeah. So maybe it's come back to bite me, but yeah. I have been a very itchy and hot, stupid man this week.
So you now glow in the dark, do you?
Absolutely. And last night was the beginning of the football season.
Yes.
Always good for me because my wife is a Richmond supporter. Mm-hmm. And she goes full bogan when the Tigers are on. Like, it's quite sexy, It's like the tracky dax. Oh, come on, Tigers! Come on, Dusty! It's almost like she's got no teeth. It's like, she even looks around and goes, what are you looking at? It's like, I said, you know how this is going to go. They get 6 goals up, choke, and win or lose by 3 points. Which almost happened in the third quarter.
Oh, didn't that start tightening up there?
She becomes quite amorous if the Tigers win, so go right. Tigers.
She doesn't get you to put a Dusty Martin jumper on and get a mohawk or anything before you get into bed?
Yeah, well, she did. She shaved my head and got the texture out and drew some pictures on me neck. So,
what's happening this weekend for you, Moons?
Their eyes.
Well, this weekend is the AFLW Grand Final up on the Goldie. So I'll be going up this afternoon. And
take a brolly.
I'll be partying with Sarah Perkins, who's been named All Australian.
Yeah,
and what a big week it's going to be for Erin Phillips, too, the captain of Adelaide. She's been named the NAB lead-up player of the year, so she picks up a nice check. She could be, you know, captain of the grand final side. And the women's equivalent of the Brownlow, which doesn't have a name yet because there isn't, you know, somebody to name it after, the AFLW player of the year is next week. So could be a big few days for Erin Phillips.
In fact, I'm just reading our sports report that's coming up. Yep. Five of the Adelaide girls were in the All-Australian squad.
When
which
did
is,
they pick that?
I don't know. It must have just happened overnight. Yeah.
Yes, it just happened. Well, it's in the paper this morning, so I guess it's happened overnight or the day before. But, yeah, so we're up on the Goldie. Yeah, a bunch of drunk footballers and the moon man on the Goldie. What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
I wonder if they'll go to Hooters where Billy Brown used to go all the time. They might have their own joint that they go to.
That's right. Or it might be me.
You might end up with glitter on your face again. Moons, you might end up with a bit of glitter all over you again.
Well, I've woken up with glitter all over me again this morning. I don't know how. No, I haven't, boy. So, Dits, keep going with your comedy career.
Oh, thanks, mate.
We're right behind you all the way.
Thanks. Good on you, Lawrence Mooney. We'll talk to Moons again next week. Roo and Dits for breakfast.
Triple M.
7:12 on this Friday morning. Roo, yesterday the terror attack in London. We know what happened there, but a lot more has come out in the last 24 hours. Let's go to our UK correspondent, Gavin Gray. Gavin, good morning. What do we know about this attacker?
Morning, Dits. Morning, Roo. Yes, we now know the terrorist to be a 52-year-old married father of three, an English teacher who was born in the UK. Yeah,
an
born
English
in
teacher.
The UK. Khalid Massoud. Yeah, but of Asian descent. Now, he was once looked at by MI5, the security service. He did have a string of convictions, grievous bodily harm, so an attack, as it were, and possession of offensive weapons, namely knives. He was not central to any of the investigations and hadn't really had any contact with the police for the last few years. Islamic State say they inspired him. They were behind the attack. But the response from London this evening has been stoic. A couple of hours ago, thousands of people packed into Trafalgar Square under the hashtag #WeAreNotAfraid.
How many people are under surveillance at any one time? We hear this quite often that he was known to police or, you know, they had tracked him. But seriously, how many people are we watching?
Dozens. In fact, if I was being outrageous, I'd probably say hundreds, but I think it is dozens. They of course, never tell you. They don't want to publicize how many or how few they're following. But it is a massive network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, monitoring emails, monitoring phone calls, following people, tracking their movements, looking at where they might travel around the country. And there's always a very difficult balance for these for the security services to strike. How far do they let somebody go to get as much information about a potential attack before arresting them? The longer you let them go, the potential, of course, is that they might actually complete your attack. But if you stop it too early, you might lose valuable information. It's a very tough act.
It's also come to light that, unfortunately, an Adelaide lady was one of the 40 people injured, Gavin.
Yeah, that's right. Believed to be on the bridge there. She comes from outside Adelaide, I think. Believed to have been on the bridge and one of 40 treated. Now, there were 12 Britons, 3 French, 4 South Koreans, a German, a Pole, an Irish, a Chinese, an Italian, an American, 2 Greeks, and as you say, somebody from South Australia. There have been 8 arrests today, 3 women and 5 men from London and Birmingham mainly, 7 raids across the United Kingdom. And Theresa May visited those in hospital, and I'm afraid the figures there still suggest that a couple are very life critical.
So does that suggest that there was some sort of active cell, that he was actually one part of this larger group?
Well, I think they're looking at basically who else he knew and were any of the others helping him. The car that this atrocity was committed in was a hire car.
Yep.
So I think the big question is, you know, did he use his own money? He's said to have hired it himself. You know, his members of his family, he's got 3 children. Did any of his family or relatives know what he was planning?
Mm.
Or did they know he was radicalized? All sorts of questions for them to answer. On a more positive note, there was an appeal set up on Just Giving, the charity site, for the family of the police officer. So far, it has raised £260,000, over $400,000. 12,000 people have donated money, and it's all to help his family try and get their life back in track in some way, shape, or form. And the police have said they will not be reissuing his police number 4157U as a mark of respect.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Gavin. Gavin Gray, our UK correspondent. It goes back to the discussion you and I had right at the top of the program today, Roo, that what can we do when people are suspected of terrorism? Do we arrest them then? Or, of course, the civil libertarians will say, oh, hang on, until they've committed a crime, you can't. But I think suspicion of terrorism is a crime.
I'm in for it.
As Gavin said.
Well, if there's only dozens of them, that's not many.
But if we find things on their emails, tapping their phones or whatever, I think they've got to be arrested before something like yesterday happens.
If they can go make seven arrests really quickly and arrest them, then they obviously knew beforehand what those people were up to.
That's right.
Going back to, well, you joke about, you know, where's God in this and stuff when, you know, things happen, whether it's in the church or something like this. I mean, what does a bloke like this think about his three kids? What sort of life are they going to have?
Great question.
What sort of life are they going to have now growing up? You know, are they going to be totally brainwashed to say dad did a good thing?
That's a very good question.
Well, how does he justify leaving a wife and three kids behind and what sort of life they're going to have in the name of whoever he preaches to?
Yeah, how can you answer that? Yeah. No, very good, Roo.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five, after Collingwood's Jordan Dugowie got caught lying for blaming his broken hand on his dog.
I've definitely lost some of the trust of the playing group.
We learned Ruud lied about a hand injury back in the day as well.
I was in hospital with my arm up in the air, out for 3 months.
And what did you tell the club?
Broke it on a dip platter. I broke it on a bowl, like on a bowl where you have your chips or dips. Yeah, I said a punch.
Just went for the biscuit a bit aggressively.
Yeah, a little bit hard. I was a bit hungry.
A likely story. Here's what really happened.
You double dipped the chip. You dipped the chip. You took a bite, and you dipped again. That's like putting your whole mouth right in the dip.
You dip the way you want to dip. I'll dip the way I want to dip.
Give me the chip.
Hey.
Number four, we learned why Ditz was such a hard hitter when he played squash. Hard hitting runs in the family.
Came home one day from school and I said, Dad, I've already got the strap today from Brother George. And he got on the phone to ring the school and I thought, oh, hello, he's sticking up for you. And he rang and he said, Brother George, there? Yep. He said, hit him harder. I said, oh, thanks. Terrific.
Number three, we learned that flowers and chocolates are still the best way to impress a girl.
You heard about the lad trying to go for a bit of a dive in the croc-infested waters.
Yeah. Leader Paul almost had his arm ripped off as he tried to impress a female British backpacker.
Funnily enough, it all gets back to trying to pick up a girl.
That's right.
I'll lose a leg for this backpacker.
In all honesty, it was a really horrific experience.
Yeah. Turns out the poor bloke's gone. He's been ripped to shreds, comes out and she says, I'm not impressed. So it's backfired terribly.
It's backfired terribly. Yeah.
And we think we know where it all went wrong.
How many drinks did you have by that point?
About 10 cups of goon.
Number two, Paul's Jackson Trengo was in. And we learned he might be starting up a driving school with an open door policy.
I was backing out of the car. I had the partner in the back seat. Thought she'd had the door closed and we're ready to take off for our dinner. Little did I know that the door was still open, and next minute I've started reversing without her telling me that
it
was...
off its hinges.
It's off the hinges. Oh, and she quickly grabbed my daughter out of the car, put her in the pram because she knew I blew up.
Was there a bit of a finger pointing going on?
No. In the end, we settled with 50-50. Wow. At one stage, I was 97-3.
And the number one thing we learnt this week is that Ditz's jokes get better with age. He was reluctant to tell his Bono from U2 joke because he'd said it before.
I've said it 20 times.
No, you haven't.
But the pressure was mounting.
Tell us that joke.
No, I'm not telling it again.
Come on!
No.
First on Monday.
I had several mates say...
No, you're making this up.
Get him to tell it.
Then on Tuesday...
Tell us the joke! Everyone laughs. Said it.
Don't.
Tell it one more time.
No, we're not going there.
And by Wednesday, it was overwhelming.
We have had an extraordinary amount of feedback and demands.
About what?
That you tell your Bono joke.
We'd had tweets,
emails,
phone calls,
faxes,
telegrams,
carrier pigeons.
Finally on Wednesday, he came through with the goods.
So Bono's up on stage. His hands are way above his head. He's going... Every time I clap, another baby dies in Africa. The bloke yelled out, "Well, stop effing clapping then." Right, you're satisfied. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, stop effing telling the joke.
There you go. That's right. I'm on your side, Roo.
Roo and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Well, that's the thing about, that's what I like about, yeah, that's the thing about football.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Let's go to the number one man in the job. We're talking the AFL and the CEO, Gil McLachlan. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, yes, mate. Very good, thanks.
A bit tired after waiting up and watching the footy last night and then getting up early, but it was a good game. Oh, big crowd.
Seriously. You all right?
Yeah.
oh, really? Look,
Gil, the poor lovey. I have to carry him every morning.
The one guy I didn't expect to be with a bottom lip like that was you.
You know what? My only bottom lip about it is I'm not tired at all. I was just trying to make conversation. Is having to watch bloody Carlton and Richmond every time the season kicks off. What's this all about?
Who do you want?
Someone decent.
Someone that can play.
Don't make out you haven't thought about it. I know you know there's a logical reason. There'd be something to do with money in it. And just tell us what the truth is, please.
Well, people like sort of tradition. I know it's only probably 10 or 15 years this game's been going, but two teams have finished outside the bottom eight. You know, still getting 73,000. There's something in it, isn't there?
73,000 disappointed people.
imagine how many people you'd get if you had two good teams. If they get 73.
I'm going to shelter arms on the rest of
the time. Now you see why I'm tired. It's tough to get through. Hey, seriously, though, a lot of great things. The women's football has been exceeded everyone's expectations. I think 99% of people would agree with that. What's your plans with it going forward? You're going to keep it this time of year? You're going to make it a little bit longer? You're going to get rid of the preseason men's comp so you can, you know, go for another 2 or 3 weeks? What are you thinking?
Well, we're doing a review, Roo, but I mean, you've raised all the sort of issues, I think. The other one, I think, is I reckon we'd love to have a couple of prelim finals as well rather than go to the grand final.
Yep.
And clearly the other thing being discussed is expanding. I think we
is there enough talent?
I reckon we need to wait a year and consolidate.
Yeah, good
idea. But you know the commissioner made that decision. I think you know it really does raise questions of what happens with the JLT series, and we raised that with the coaches the other day. I think it should stay where it is for the moment. I think it's really got a good slot through February, March. There'll be 40 to 50 young girls, women drafted this year, so there's going to be a huge increase in the talent pool, and I reckon the footy look different again next year.
What about the one of the immediate decisions you need to make is that the women's Brownlow, any ideas, any suggestions as to what it might be called?
Well, it's one of those ones this year it's the best and fairest AFLW BNF. I just think you need to, well, our view has been that we're going to let it iterate and evolve and something will come out rather than trying to manufacture one from the start.
Right.
There's a few of the awards that just haven't been named, and as huge contributors and people come through that, you know, someone will come along with deemed worthy. And I think we've named a couple of them. But a lot have been left unnamed for the thing to evolve.
You said you spoke to the coaches about the pre-season comp. You might not want to release what they come up with, but I mean, what are you thinking there with the pre-season? Could you just go straight into round one, and the first time you see your team is round one, or could you have a couple of internals and just have the last pre-season game televised, or could you know? Will you leave it as is?
Well, from our perspective, from the AFL perspective, this is, you know, these are practice games for the clubs. So in the end, whatever the construct is, we're only doing it for them to get the right prep that they want to come in. With the AFLW and with everything else, I don't believe we need to be marketing the game coming to round one. So it's more actually just whatever the right preparation is for the clubs. And, yeah, again, without betraying confidence, I think there was a wide range. As some coaches would say, I don't need a practice game. We can go internals, and just as long as we're all the same, I'm happy to start without that. And then there are others who think they need three. So, you know, this is one for the clubs and us to work with them to get the right outcome, because it's really only about getting the teams prepared, nothing else.
All right, we're talking to Gil McLachlan from the AFL.
Sorry, just to clarify, the one thing we do like taking the game out regionally. So the only thing that the AFL is looking for out of that is to be able to take the games out to regions and support regional Australia.
Fantastic. More with Gil McLaughlin in just a moment.
I've got a curly one for him.
Oh, it's good. Look forward to it.
104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Gil McLaughlin, the CEO of the AFL, is on the line. Roo, you said you had a curly question for him.
No, well, I applaud Gil for what he's done with his negotiating over the years with his CBA dealings.
And
Hang on, there's a couple of record deals he's got, namely the last one, $2.5 billion. Gil, you can do the deals with Fox and Channel 7 and Telstra, but you can't do a deal with footballers. Patrick Dangerfield, Pavlich, Marshy. When are you going to get the CBA sorted for the salary cap?
I don't know when. Hopefully soon. We're in good discussions and the sides are negotiating. So you don't know when things are going to happen, but both sides are trying to get it done, Ray.
We might need
to learn an enforcer like you.
Are you getting angry or frustrated?
No, I don't get angry. You know that. It's only when you lose the Gabba.
when you lose the Gabba.
Yeah.
You could have put that at Adelaide Oval.
We thought about it. Things take as long as they take. Yep. We're committed to getting a fair deal for the players. They've got a whole series of things they want. And that's what negotiating is, and it's not binary, but we'll get there.
Yep. Yeah, well, I've got a question on behalf of my beloved football club, Gil. Now, we're taking the game...
You don't need more money again,
we're taking the game around the world.
We don't want more money.
We're about to take it to 1 billion people in China. We came up with this idea, and we're doing our bit for the game.
Oh, God.
We couldn't give any more, seriously. And now you let the Suns come and wear the Chinese national colours against us.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but it was our idea to go to China. So this jumper gate situation, Gil, did you get involved in that at all?
I've worked incredibly hard to not get involved. I want everyone to know. I hope you've observed.
So you just turned your phone off, did you?
Oh, my God. This is like, jumper gate's the right word. this is something for Port Adelaide and Gold Coast to work out.
Yeah.
It's a Gold Coast home gun that's been bought by Port. They can work it out.
Exactly. Oh, hey, Gil, when I drive up to Walker Flat and go past your old place up there.
Steal three sheep.
Yes. Oh, well, I only usually take one. am I going to get chopped up by wind turbines, or have you won that deal or not? Yeah, what's happening up there? Because we've had blackouts for a few times over the summer, and I certainly don't want more.
There's stuff going on in court. I'm not a party to it anymore. I've reached an agreement.
You turned your phone off for that one as well.
Gee whiz. What are you giving it someone else to fight? What's happened?
I mean, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
you've been told to fold them, have you?
No. We're, I can't say too much.
All right.
But, I also won't say any more on that.
How did you get Hemsworth to do the television ad? Did you have to pull a few strings there or...?
A bucket load of cash. the thing about him is, and I'm being flippant about that. And clearly, he's a guy who gets well paid, but he's not. He's done it on a great rate because he loves footy, and he is. You could see. I reckon you get when you see him move around the table. He's played football. He loves it, and he did it because he's a tragic Bulldogs supporter, an AFL guy, and I reckon he's appeals to a lot of people, and I reckon it's a good ad.
Gil, thanks so much for joining us. You've answered all the curly ones and dodged the ones that you just couldn't be bothered answering as well. And that was fantastic.
Well, you make a living out of that.
Yeah, we do.
Nah, Gil, thanks, mate, and all the best for the season ahead.
Good luck. Thanks.
There he is, the CEO of the AFL, Gil McLaughlin. Just before we move on, Roo, what were you asking him about the players' deal? Where is... I don't quite understand at the moment. Where's it at?
Well, the clubs actually don't even know what the salary cap is.
You're joking.
This year, 2017.
You're kidding?
No.
So how will you know if you've broken it or not?
Well, we got advised to stay at a certain percentage rise, and if it goes up more than that, well then, we'll deal with that later.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very unusual.
Wasn't aware of that.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined It's for Breakfast. Roo, this Sunday the Adelaide Melanoma March is on for 2017.
Yeah, very important day.
To tell us all about it, one of our favourites. We love this lady. We really do. She's the ambassador for it. Rachel Spawn, good morning.
Hi, Dits.
How are you?
You actually have to change that title. I became CEO in December.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Excuse me.
Well,
right, who did you knife to get that
how
job?
How dare you, Dits?
Started off the ambassador, now CEO. Gee, that ruthless.
Hey, times are changing, Dits. Times are changing.
So the buck stops with me. That's what's scary.
Gee whiz.
So how are the financials of those?
I'm clearly not discussing that with you
a few
two.
Junkets along the way.
Yeah.
They have sun in Asia and everywhere. You've got to go and check it all
absolutely.
Out. All those, that's South
Maldives.
Africa.
Maldives.
Right. I could be an ambassador.
No, you couldn't do that.
Nah, let's talk now. Let's be fair to income. So on Sunday, what will happen, Rach?
So 8 a.m. onwards, everyone can start to arrive at the beautiful Henley Square.
Mm,
and it's actually going to be sunny and at this stage 32 degrees. So that's why we do it in the morning early so we don't get burnt. From 9 a.m. onwards is when the march begins and it's from Henley Square to Grange Jetty and back. Easy 4 kilometre stroll, prams, bring your dogs on a lead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely family fun day. We'll have entertainment for the kids. We're going to have a really special commemorative ceremony this year to remember those that we've lost to melanoma and give hope to those that have melanoma. We've got a hope tree, which is a new initiative, so that'll be a lovely moving ceremony.
So you're planting a tree down at Henley?
No, we've actually made a tree and people write messages on leaves and they actually hook them onto the tree.
Yep.
So, yeah, so it's really moving.
So is it about awareness? Is it about fundraising on Sunday? What's the main goal? Is it a combination of both?
So it's the main fundraising initiative for both us and Melanoma Institute Australia, but obviously also awareness. So people can register online at melanomamarch.org.au or you can rock up on the day. We take registrations on the day. So it's pretty much remembering those that we've lost, supporting our amazing dedicated researchers and inspiring Australians to hopefully end melanoma. You get burnt on overcast days because UV levels are not temperature related. It's the time of the year and time of day.
Yep.
So, UV levels in Adelaide are above 3 between September and April. So that's why you're getting burnt at the footy when they're playing, when it's played this time of year, the people in the crowd, the social, this is a winter match, but in those months it's not.
Rachel, I saw you in the Sunday Mail, the photo with Erin Phillips was interesting last weekend with what you just mentioned. Now, the girls right now have played on warm days.
Mm-hmm.
My son's playing soccer at the moment, just started. Saturday was 32 degrees or something, and what can we do about that? I remember the late, great Jimmy Steins playing a game of football in a cap.
Yes.
That's the only first bloke I ever saw do that.
And he died from melanoma.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
So what can we do with sport out in the sun?
Well, I guess it's just scheduling games, if possible, later in the day because it's between 10 and 4, when the UV levels are higher.
Yep.
So if after 4 o'clock would be ideal if they were scheduled like that. If it's not possible, then look, sunscreen and trying to maybe get in the shade between breaks, like halftime, December in the shade rather than staying out in the sun. I've been very pleased to see that the girls have got sunscreen on their face when they've been playing in the football. And Erin, she said to me that when they played that 11:35 game, she couldn't believe that she'd got burnt day. Because it was raining. It was cloudy and still got burnt.
Isn't it fantastic that Jared Rufford's back for Hawthorn after everything he's gone through? Not just back, but they've made him captain. I mean, that's a great story for everyone, isn't it?
Well, it is. And that's the great work that the melanoma researchers are doing. Jared's a very lucky boy because if he'd got that diagnosis 5 years ago, I'm tipping he wouldn't be with us. And Jared would
really?
Know that.
Really? Well, there's been that many...
Much advancement in research in the last 5 years. Since I joined this organisation 5 years ago and I've been amazed by the developments in that time.
And that's all thanks to people raising money and raising awareness. Now, just on Sunday, the march does kick off at 9 a.m, so get down there earlier than that. I've just saw something here which probably a little bit of a concern for you, Roach, to be quite honest. Free skin checks, nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing. But massage will also be available.
Right.
So
what time did you
just
say?
Just be careful on this, Rach, because another fundraiser, the City to Bay, quite a few years ago, Dits and I made the decision that we'd be part of it. I ran the 12Ks. We had free massage at the other end at the Watermark Hotel. Guess who was on getting a massage when I got down there?
So we actually didn't do the walk.
Didn't do the run. Didn't do the run.
So what justified?
I cooked the barbecue. Free massage.
I cooked the barbecue.
He cooked the barbecue. His calves were tight from leaning up against the barbecue. You know, that was a disgrace.
The masseurs are standing there doing nothing. Everyone's out running. I had to give him something to do.
That was a disgrace. Don't go down there.
I didn't realise that they were going to arrive. Oh, Roo was arriving bad. When he did, because I thought I'll get the massage in before they arrive.
And of course, that'd make it okay, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Rach, thanks for coming in. So down at Henley Square on the weekend.
This Sunday.
Yeah.
This Sunday. As I said, walk-ups, absolutely welcome. Love to see you all down there. It's a great family fun day and for a very serious cause, though.
Mm. So get down there at 8 o'clock, bring your pram, bring whatever, just get it a run and raise some awareness and raise some money.
Good on you, Rachel Spawn.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
More footy tonight, Roo. Collingwood Western Bulldogs on Channel 7. Unbelievable after a big start last night. Brian Taylor calling all the action. BT, good morning.
Dits, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good. The coverage live and free Friday, Saturday and Sunday on 7.
Don't you say g'day to me, BT.
Well, I didn't know whether you were there or I was having a coffee. You might have looked at me as a bit of a break.
Now, BT, before we go any further, I just want to play this to you. We had Gillon McLachlan on earlier this morning, and we asked him about why. Why do we have to be subjected to Richmond Carlton starting every season? Have a listen to this.
People like sort of tradition. I know it's only probably 10 or 15 years this game's been going, but two teams have finished outside the bottom eight, you know, still getting 73,000. There's something in it, isn't there?
Now, BT, if they pull 73,000, imagine what two good teams would pull.
I couldn't agree more with Gillon and what he just said there, boys. You know, it's about the teams that can pull big crowds even when they're not playing. As he said, both teams finished out of the eight, 73,000 MCG. I mean, you look at only Carlton, Essendon, Richmond, Collingwood could do that, and their supporters would still turn up. I mean, if you had Adelaide and Port Adelaide, you know, at the MCG on a Thursday night, there wouldn't be 73,000.
That's because all their supporters are in Adelaide.
Yeah.
BT, I understand what you're saying. I do agree that they can pull a big crowd because that's probably the first and only time they'll realise that their team might be good.
Might have a win, yeah.
But is big crowds more important than a better game of football? Because I think most people would say last night's football quality was, you know, average at best.
Well, look, I went to the game, unlike you blokes, and enjoyed it. Sat there and said, this is fantastic. Saw some things that I haven't seen before.
What?
Saw the dynamic play of Rioli up forward.
He looks good.
Daniel and these other guys. It was great. You guys are just downplaying it, dirty on the world. I don't know what's wrong with you, but it was very, very entertaining stuff, and you shouldn't be talking down the game. For me, I'd rather see a big crowd at a footy creating a big atmosphere and getting the season off on the right foot.
So, okay. All right, let me ask you this question,
man.
You're a born Western Australian, so therefore, the Subiaco ground, Chockers, or your new oval over there when it opens, Chockers with West Coast Fremantle, isn't that a big crowd? Isn't that a good way to start the season? Or what you're actually saying is, oh, no, it must be a Melbourne-based game. So the AFL still doesn't take us seriously anywhere else.
You're kidding yourselves. Look, don't get excited about this. It's just the opening game. Your chance is going to come on, what is it, Sunday with Adelaide. That'll be a good game over there, taking on GWS. I mean, what do you want? What do you want out of us?
No, I wouldn't have
Victoria's the heartbeat.
I wouldn't have a showdown on round one anyway, Dits. Is that what you're proposing?
Or no, you're just I'm not. But I'm saying if it's all about having a big crowd, it will always be these Melbourne teams.
You guys are talking about whether this is the right or wrong game. Everyone over here is just talking about how excited they are about, you know, both of those teams.
Hey, BT, let's move on.
We take it one game at a time, Ruth.
I know that. And we're all excited too. Let's move on. Let's make love again and move on from that one. But it is going to be a great – tonight's game, for instance – could be another great game. Probably will be a better game of football. Where do you put Collingwood? Can they improve, or could they potentially start a very bad 2017 with a bit of a touch up tonight?
Well, potentially that's on the cards. Where they finished, I think 12th last year, the Pies, 9 wins for the year. Can they improve on 9 wins with the depth of their midfield? I think so. Problem for me with the Pies is they've probably got 26 players, 20, maybe 28 players. That's probably not enough to get through the season in terms of injuries and that, and feature at the end of the year. So that's a little bit of a concern for me. But the Bulldogs, been watched both of these sides train over the last 2 weeks, I tell you what, the Travis Cloak thing for me, I think he will be the player of the year at the Western Bulldogs.
Okay.
For me, like, regardless of his age, I just reckon what they've done, and I know, Roo, you're good at this over there at Adelaide, they've just put an arm around him and they've given him some love. The guy just needed a little bit more love. He'd fallen out of favour at Richmond. Perhaps they didn't agree with the way he played or whatever. But you can already tell that he's jumping out of his skin. You know, didn't lose any weight when he was asked to at Collingwood. All of a sudden, he's lost 3 or 4 kilos, looks really good. You know, his running has been great. His marking and his hands have been sensational. I've got no doubt that his performances will return to 2010, 11, 12, when he was such a great player.
Mel, can you just mark this time, 8:28 on Friday, whatever the date is.
So when he kicks one goal, five.
No one's ever said, I'm good at putting an arm around people, only in a headlock, PT.
Well, I remember the night you got Hodgie in a headlock and I was working up an Albury in the main street. So that was pretty impressive. You are one hell of a headlock.
Oh. Hey, now let's get to some quick tips, okay? Tonight's
hang
game.
Hang on, Dits. What you just said there, oh, it would be good when he kicks one goal, five. Hey, goals won't matter. He's not asked to kick goals at
You are kidding. You are joking. So he doesn't have to kick goals.
No, he's not the focus. One goal a game will be enough
for
him. Oh,
ball dust.
He only has to, in a good team, you only have to do a little bit. A little
ball
bit.
Ball dust.
Just go out and perform your duty. At Collingwood, he had to win the game off his own boot by kicking five, or at least that was the expectation, and he hasn't got that expectation at the Dogs.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Well, they've got Stringer, they've got Cramery. They've got a whole heap of others that are going to accumulate.
Mosquito fleet around them.
Let's get to some tips. All right, who's going to win tonight, Collingwood, Western Bulldogs?
Western Bulldogs.
What are Essendon going to be like this season? They take on Hawthorn in their first game.
Going to be okay, but haven't got enough depth. Think the Hawks will get the job done there.
Some people are saying Hawthorn won't make the eight. Do you agree with that, BT?
No, I disagree. I think they will make the eight, and I think Mitchell will win the best and fairest. If you've got the dough and you want to have a bet now, get it on Mitchell. He's been their star performer in the preseason. He attracts the ball and he'll win the best.
So we're talking Tom Mitchell we're talking about.
A lot of big calls here at the moment.
All right.
No, they're normal calls.
Crows GWS at home.
Crows will get over the line. Should improve this year, the Crows, a little bit.
And Port Adelaide tomorrow go up to the SCG to get the Swannies at the right time, I reckon.
I reckon I'll get smacked.
Thank you. Hey, BT, have a great season. Enjoy the footy tonight as well.
Good on you, boys.
There you go, mate. The one and only BT, Seven's AFL coverage live and free, Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you only feel like doing half the games?
Well, because we have to move on. We're running late. I did the important ones that matter. All right?
Yes. It's fine. Do what you want.
Get what you missed on Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the catch-up for Adelaide Tools' massive Paraka car park sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.